"You foolish Galatians, who has bewitched you? Before your very eyes, Jesus Christ was clearly portrayed as crucified. I would like to learn just one thing from you. Did you receive the Spirit by observing the law or by believing what you heard? Are you so foolish? After beginning with the Spirit, are you now trying to attain your goal by human effort? Have you suffered so much for nothing? If it really was for nothing, does God give you his Spirit and work miracles among you because you observe the law or because you believe what you heard? Consider Abraham. He believed God and it was credited to him as righteousness. Understand then that those who believe are children of Abraham. The scripture foresaw that God would justify the Gentiles by faith and announce the gospel in advance to Abraham. All nations will be blessed through you. So those who have faith are blessed along with Abraham, the man of faith. All who rely on observing the law are under a curse, for it is written, cursed is everyone who does not continue to do everything written in the book of the law. Clearly, no one is justified before God by the law, because the righteous will live by faith. The law is not based on faith. On the contrary, the man who does these things will live by them. Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law by becoming a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone who is hung on a tree. He redeemed us in order that the blessing given to Abraham might come to the Gentiles through Christ Jesus, so that by faith we might receive the promise of the Spirit.
Well, it's great to be with you again this morning. If we haven't met, my name's James. I work as a ministry apprentice at the Kingston Reformed Church, and it's a real privilege for me to be here. And as a visitor, it might sound a bit weird, but I'd like to extend a warm welcome to you, particularly if you are a visitor here this morning. Perhaps this is your first time to church. I'm not sure about all of you. It's great to have you here. And I really hope, and I've been praying, that you might be able to really listen to what God says through his word in the Bible, and that all of us would really be changed by what we read. Let me just pray, and then we'll get stuck into it. Dear God and Father, we thank you so much that we can be gathered here this morning as your people. We thank you, Father, that you have written these words for us to hear as well. Although it was written a long time ago, we thank you that this is your breathed out word to us. We pray that you would grab these words through the power of your Holy Spirit and that you'd transform us. Help us, Father, not to get away with taking it easy, as it's a bit of a tricky passage. We pray that you'd help us to do a bit of hard work this morning and really try and apply what we figure out here. We pray that in Jesus' name for your glory. Amen. Well, I encourage you to keep your Bibles open there, Galatians chapter 3. We'll be referring to that quite a bit this morning. In many ways, what you know changes your behaviour, doesn't it? Or at least in many ways, what you know should change your behaviour. For example, if I know that a certain person gets really irritated when I talk to them while they're watching a movie or listening to a song or something like that, I generally wouldn't do that. Sometimes I actually would do that, because I like to annoy people. But generally, because I know that they get so irritated by me interrupting them, I wouldn't do that. I wonder if what you know about being made right with God changes your behaviour. Let me explain what I mean by that. Most of us here this morning are Christians and have been for a long time. And most of us have been members of good Bible-teaching churches where the gospel is always preached, where the gospel is always central. Week in and week out, we get told, because it's the truth, that we are made right with God by faith in Jesus. Only by faith in Jesus' death on the cross and his resurrection are we able to be made right with God. We get taught that there's nothing else that I can do that will make me right with God, don't we? There's nothing I can possibly do in my sinful state that would make me acceptable to a holy God, is there? We're made right with God by faith in Jesus only. And we get hammered with that week in and week out for good reason. I wonder for you, does that change your behaviour or the way that you live? Does knowing that you're made right with God by faith in Jesus change your behaviour? So even though you know that faith in Jesus is the only thing that makes you right with God, is there a chance that you might be living as though, and you might be behaving, as if it's something that you've done to make you right with God. See, we might know it in our heads that we're made right with God by faith in Jesus, but is that how you live out your Christian lives? Or are you tempted to live out or behave like many of us do, I suspect, that if you keep doing this and doing that and giving so much here and praying for so long over here and just being busy with all this sort of Christian ministry sort of stuff, that you'll continue to be right with God? Could it be for you that you fall into that basket? Could it be true for you that although you know the gospel through and through and you get hammered with it week in and week out, that you live as if you're made right with God by your own efforts and by your own works? Are you tempted to think that somehow you're proving yourself to God by the way that you live and by the way that you serve him? So I think if we're not careful, for some of us, we can easily fall down that track. Somehow thinking that we're made right with God by proving ourselves to him in some way. And of course, if we do that, we've forgotten the most important truth in the whole Bible. If we think that we're made right with God by something that we've done. The passage that we're looking at this morning, Galatians chapter 3, I think could be a wake-up call for those of us who are Christians here this morning. It's a reminder of how we were made right with God. You remember what the Apostle Paul said to the Christians in Rome? He said that there's no one righteous, not even one. No one who understands, no one who seeks God. All have turned away. They have together become worthless. There is no one who does good. Not even one. That's some pretty full-on stuff there from Paul to the Romans. The Apostle Paul is saying there is no one who is just naturally right with God. And what we're going to be spending some time doing this morning thinking about this morning and applying, I hope, is how we were made right with God as Christians and what that means for the way that we live out our Christian lives. We're going to be looking at how all of these Galatian Christians that were at one stage not righteous, not right with God, became right with God, and how they'll continue to be right with God. We're going to be thinking about it under 2 points this morning. First point, if you're a note taker, is that you weren't made right with God by observing the law. I think it's important for us to firstly have a look at how we weren't made right with God, how the Galatians weren't made right with God, just so you know and understand this is how we weren't. We're not made right with God. And there's a couple of reasons why we weren't made right with God by observing the law. The first reason is you weren't made right with God by observing the law because the law is based on human effort. The law is based on human effort. Have a look at verses 3 to 5. Are you so foolish? After beginning with the Spirit, are you now trying to attain your goal by human effort? Have you suffered so much for nothing, if it really was for nothing? Does God give you his Spirit and work miracles among you because you observe the law or because you believe what you heard? See, the Galatians had begun with the Spirit, but they were trying to attain their goal by human effort. They were trying to attain their goal by having faith in their own ability. Paul's quite confident here that these Galatians are Christians, and we know that because they have received the Spirit of God. They had begun with the Spirit because Paul had preached to them Christ crucified. You can see that there in verse 1, where he says, "You foolish Galatians, who has bewitched you? Before your very eyes, Christ was clearly portrayed as crucified." See, Christ crucified had been preached to them, and the Galatians had faith in what they heard. They believed what they heard. Because of that faith, Paul is saying, you received the Spirit of God. Now, what's the Spirit of God? Well, the Spirit of God is something you receive from God as a gift from him when you've become one of his sons. A gift from God that you get when you've been made right with him, when you've been made righteous. So later on in Galatians chapter 4, Paul says, because you are sons, God sent the Spirit of his Son into our hearts, the Spirit who calls out, Father. You see, the Spirit is a gift from God that they receive when they believe the message that they heard about Jesus. Now, the interesting thing here is, why is Paul asking them how they received the Spirit? It's an interesting question. And the reason I think Paul's asking them how they received the Spirit is because the Spirit is what will carry them through to the end. See, what happened with the Galatians was that they had faith in Christ at first, which made them right with God. But then they started to add stuff like circumcision and on top of that. See, the Judaizer missionaries were out in full force at this time. They wanted these Galatians to follow the Jewish practices and the Jewish rituals and stuff like that. So that was going to make them right with God, they were being told. That was going to be the thing which would help them attain their goal. So I think Paul's asking them how they received the Spirit, because it's only by the Spirit that they'll attain their goal, not human effort. In Philippians, Paul says, being confident of this, that he who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus. So God gives us this, the gift of his Spirit partly, I think, to carry us on to completion. So when these Galatians were made right with God, they received the Spirit, which will carry their rightness with God on, their righteousness with God on to completion until the day of Christ. So did they receive the Spirit by observing the law or by believing what they heard? Well, of course they didn't receive the Spirit by observing the law. The Spirit is a gift from God. They didn't receive the Spirit by somehow reaching up to God and just taking it away from him and grabbing it from him. They didn't receive the Spirit by their own human effort. They didn't receive the Spirit by observing the law. So why are they now trying to attain their goal by their own human effort? That's foolish, isn't it? That's why Paul's saying, you fools. And so what Paul's saying to those of us who are Christians here this morning is that you receive the Spirit of God, which will carry you through to completion by having faith in Christ. The reason you weren't made right with God by observing the law is because by observing the law, you're trusting in your own ability to make you right with God. And that's human effort. You know, the law says, do this and do that, and you shouldn't do this and you shouldn't do that. And if you obey all of this, well, of course, you're awesome. You're righteous. You're right with God. But who can obey the law perfectly? No one can. I mean, what a horrible way to live. You'd never be sure whether you've done enough. You'd never be real confident that you're right with God. It'd be a life driven by guilt. Nothing that you do would seem nice. Nothing would be joyful. You'd always be asking yourself whether you've done enough. It'd drive you mad. And that's what happens with human effort. We weren't made right with God by observing the law, because the law is based on human effort. The law is not based on faith, Paul says in verse 12. Now, the second reason why we weren't made right with God by observing the law is because by observing the law, you aren't a child of the promise. Now, why on earth does that matter? You might be wondering. Have a look at verses 6 to 9. Consider Abraham. He believed God, and it was credited to him as righteousness. Understand then that those who believe are children of Abraham. The scripture foresaw that God would justify the Gentiles by faith and announce the gospel in advance to Abraham. All nations will be blessed through you. So those who have faith are blessed along with Abraham, the man of faith. So you weren't made right with God by observing the law, because by observing the law you aren't a child of Abraham. You aren't a child of the promise. One of the promises that God made to Abraham was that all nations would be blessed through him. All nations would be blessed through him. Even if you weren't born into God's chosen people, the Israelites, you can still be a child of this promise. The nations will be blessed, not just God's chosen people. Now, the Jews, the Israelites, knew far better than you and I probably do about the seriousness of being a child of the promise. To you and I, we can, you know, hear this sort of stuff and not really lift an eyelid. But for the Jews, they knew that if they were going to somehow miss out on the promise to Abraham, they probably would lift an eyelid. They would give a bit of a stuff. And no doubt they would get very angry at Paul for saying this sort of stuff. But Paul knows these promises a lot better than what they do. Paul knows that if you want to be a child of the promise, then like Abraham, you need to have faith in God's word. You can see that there in verse 6. He believed God, and that belief that Abraham had was credited to him as righteousness. He didn't need to work really hard at trying to prove himself to God, and God credited that as righteousness. God's word came to Abraham, and Abraham had faith in what he heard from God. Abraham believed in God's word when it came to him. See, if we want to be children of the promise, seeming as we are of the nations, we need to have faith like Abraham. And we're not children of the promise if we rely on the law to make us right with God. We're children of the promise if, like him, we have faith in God's word. We're children of the promise if, when we hear God's word, have faith and believe what God says. So I wish we could have one of these first century Jews standing here right now to tell us just how serious it was for them to miss out on this promise. But then I probably won't believe when we start talking about that we're made right with God by faith. Now, there's one more reason from this passage, I think, why we're not made right with God by observing the law. So the reasons so far have been because the law is based on human effort and because you're not a child of the promise. And the third reason why we weren't made right with God by observing the law is because all who rely on the law are under a curse. And we're going to apply all this towards the end. All who rely on the law are under a curse. Have a look at verse 10. All who rely on the law are under a curse. For it is written, cursed is everyone who does not continue to do everything written in the book of law. So if we're relying on the law to make us right with God, we're actually under a curse. We've stepped back into the present evil age, which is under a curse. Because no one can continue to do everything written in the book of law, we're under a curse. And that curse that we're under stops us from being right with God. It's a curse that separates us from God because it relies on the law to make us right with him, which it just can't do. But the good news for us is that Christ became a curse for us. Now, if you're not a Christian here this morning, this is really important stuff for you to hear. And even if you are a Christian, obviously it's important. Have a look at verse 13. Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law by becoming a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone who is hung on a tree. So by being hung on a tree, Christ took on the curse of the law. The curse that each of us were under so that we could be redeemed from that curse. So that we would be brought up and out of that curse. So that we'd be freed from this present evil age. That's the message that Paul came preaching to them in the first place. That's the message that they believed in. The message that they heard and trusted in. Paul didn't preach anything other than Christ crucified to them. And that's what they believed in. That's how they were made right with God and received the Spirit. But if you go back to the law, then you haven't been freed from this present evil age. If you go back to the law, you're still under this curse. That's why it's so serious for us to get this right. If you're relying on your own little version of the law to make you right with God, then you're not far away from being under the curse of this present evil age. You were made right with God by faith in Jesus Christ. That's the second point this morning. It's nothing new. You probably don't even need to write that down if you're a note taker. You were made right. You weren't made right with God by observing the law, for the reasons we've had a looked at. You were made right with God by faith in Jesus. Have a look at verse 14. He redeemed us in order that the blessing given to Abraham might come to the Gentiles. Gentiles is anyone who's not a Jew, through Christ Jesus, so that by faith we might receive the promise of the Spirit. So you were made right with God by faith in Jesus Christ. And I think the thing that many Christians need to apply from this passage, in light of this truth, is that we don't need to try and prove ourselves to God in any way. See, that seems to be the big thing that we need to apply to ourselves from this passage, particularly here at Summerlees. We need to keep drilling into our heads that the only way we were made right with God in the first place was by believing the good news of Jesus Christ, not by anything that we've ever done. That's the big application here from this passage. It's funny, isn't it? Or sad, really, that as soon as we forget that we're made right with God through faith in Jesus, we start trying to prove ourselves to God in some way. Now, it might not be so obvious to us how we do that. We probably don't say it out loud like this, but by the way we act and by the way we behave, it can show. So one example of this could be that we always keep ourselves busy to prove ourselves to God. Maybe one of the ways we try and keep ourselves busy to prove ourselves to God is by flooding ourselves with Christian ministry. So that's not sort of full-time paid Christian ministry, but Christian ministry that most people here are involved in. So you might be tempted to think that if you keep busy in Christian ministry, that it will keep God happy. You think that it will keep God and you as mates. You think that it might, you know, by doing all of this stuff, that will carry you through to completion until Christ returns. So we don't really need people like that involved in ministry, do we? You need people involved in ministry that model to others in word and action that without Jesus' death on the cross for your sin, we're stuffed. We're not right with God. That's the sort of people we need in Christian ministry, isn't it? Could it be that you're one of those people who are so busy in Christian ministry because you're trying to prove yourselves to God? Could that be you? So in what ways are you trying to prove yourself to God? What are the things in your life that you're doing partly because you think that's keeping God and you like this? What are those things in your life? How are you trying to prove yourself to God? I think the message that we need to go back to time and time again for the rest of our lives is that I was spiritually dead. There was nothing inside of me that wanted God as my King, and nothing that wanted inside of me that wanted Jesus as my Lord and my Saviour, but that I was made spiritually alive in Christ only. I wasn't right with God, but by faith in Jesus Christ, I am right with God. Nothing else. So if you're a Christian here this morning, as most of you are, there's nothing you can do that will make you right with God. So you don't need to try and prove yourself to Him. Now that's liberating, isn't it? I think that's totally liberating. If you're trying to prove yourself to God in some way, then be liberated by the fact that there's nothing you can actually do to prove yourself to God. It's all been done for you. Everything has been done for you. There's nothing wrong with working hard for God, but work hard, work your butt off, in light of this truth, that you've been made right with God by faith in Jesus, and then go off your head for Him. If you're not a Christian here this morning, won't you consider being made right with God? Jesus' death on the cross for you, for your sin, is the only thing you need to have faith in to make you right with God. It's as simple as that. It's not based on anything that you've done in the past. It's not based on anything that you'll go to do in the future. And it's not based on anything that you're doing at the moment. And that's the heart of what the Bible is all about. Having faith in Jesus because He died on the cross to save us from our sin. See, we weren't made right with God. We were made right with God, by faith in Jesus Christ, so we don't need to try and prove ourselves to Him in any way. If we try and prove ourselves to Him, that's what Paul's getting angry at here. That's why he's saying, you fools, and that's why it's being foolish to try and prove ourselves to Him. So I hope that's liberating news for us. Let's pray. Dear God and Father, we thank You so much for giving us the gift of faith. Father, we thank You that You have had mercy on many of us in this room. Father, we pray that You'd forgive us for moving on to other things, moving on to our own little versions of the law to make us right with You. We pray, Father, that You'd help us to turn around from those things in our life, and to look to Christ as the better option to have faith in. Father, I pray for anyone here this morning who is under the curse of the law. And we pray, Father, boldly that through the power of Your Spirit You might really open up their hearts to receive the message of being made right with Christ through faith. Father, help us to live our lives as Christians in light of this truth. And we pray that together as a community here that You'd help us to correct each other when we start to go off in different ways. We pray this in Jesus' name, and we pray it for Your glory. Amen.